We are heading east to a bedrock of harness racing, PEI, where our sport is dyed in the wool. That's D-Y-E-D. The gentleman on the other end of my line will tell you there's no magic to what they do over at Red Shores in Charlottetown and Summerside, yet few other tracks seem to want to follow their model. We've got Tom Clark, the vice chair of Harness Racing PEI. He's been instrumental in the success of the industry there. Tom, welcome.
Hi, Norm. Thanks very much for having me.
Great to have you. Another gentleman with whom you work at Red Shores is a former Southern Ontario boy like myself, Brett Revington. Brett, welcome.
Good afternoon, Norm.
I'm always fond, Tom, of reminding Brett that his family owned and trained the only horse to set a world record for a yearling. Did you know that?
No, this is very informative.
Yeah, Fireside Brandy in 1969, one of Brett's relatives, Leroy Revington, went around the Western Fair track twice with a yearling. Boom, world record. Listen, fellas, I just watched a documentary on Old Home Week, and, you know, you may be able to say, well, that's just a one-off, the place is packed, it's like the jug, but then after that, what happens? Well, you folks are doing good things all year long. What is it behind your success? Tell us how the partnership between the sport and the government over there has worked so well for you people.
The model that we presently work within is called the Red Shores model, and we're going to be coming up to 2 years since the current minister, Minister Sheridan, who was responsible for harness racing on Prince Edward Island, developed and instituted this particular model that we work under. And through that, the minister and his people within government identified areas in which they thought going forward the harness racing industry on Prince Edward Island would look to thrive and flourish, and eventually, with the goal in the not-too-distant future, to be self-sufficient.
How is that working with respect to getting closer to that goal? I would have to think it's moving along at a good clip.
Well, we've enjoyed a tremendous year here in 2011, and the start of 2012 has been pretty encouraging as well. I might just insert here that, you know, a lot of that gain in our business and our revenue side has been through the incorporation of HBI, which Brett Revington and his team at Red Shores instituted last year. And perhaps maybe this would be a good spot for Brett just to give us a little overview of that.
Brett, tell us how the partnership with HBI has given your business a boost, at least from a handle standpoint, because you folks are really good at doing all the other things vis-a-vis customer service, with your dining area, with your casino area. Tell us about the HBI experience.
Previously to my regime, HBI was on board for Old Home Week and took the Gold Cup and Saucer for a couple of years. 2011 was the first year that HBI took all 110 race dates.
Wow.
And we've seen a nice boost from the HBI handle, and it seems to grow a little bit each week. HBI Canada, we were up about $600,000 in wager in 2011 via the outside sources. We're into a few sites in the States as well, Twin Spires and ExpressBet and eBet Online. And a little bit of trickles in each week, which all helps our overall handle.
Yeah, that is the trick right there, and you're up there with some big players. It's interesting because I've seen your feed, and I'm very impressed with the optics of it from a television standpoint, and that's interesting that I mentioned that because Daryl Kaplan, in his editorial in February's Trot Magazine, or January's, I guess it is, points out that, you know, what are we doing as an industry to give people or to compel people to bet on us? What's our television feed look like? And so on. You guys have addressed that quite well.
Yeah, we're a pretty small market here, quite obviously, but the production, the race day program that Lee Drake and his Red Shores team, Peter McPhee, put on, and Les McIsaac each and every week, is a pretty impressive product for such a small market. And it would be a good time probably for me, Norm, if you don't mind me sliding in. I'd really like to say thank you to each and every fan on the HBI network, as well as all those people who wager on our product across North America. We're extremely grateful. It makes a huge difference in a small community.
I think that the average harness racing fan appreciates the fact that Prince Edward Island is a bedrock of harness racing. It's ingrained in the culture. That's something that we in Ontario may not have as much as we had before. And it's almost like, you know, rooting for the little guy, as it were, but whatever works, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Norm. what we do here is really not so complicated. And the Ontario model has been tremendous. We've many aspects of it we've learned and implemented here. What we might do a little bit differently here is we understand the need for each and every stakeholder involved to work together really closely, whether it be the racetrack operator or the horseman's group or the commission. We try our very best to sit down with a frequency and exchange our viewpoints, our challenge areas, and through that, by each of us listening and understanding the challenges that the other stakeholder may have, with the goal of coming out of the room united and try to push the ball forward.
Let me ask you something, Brett. How tied in are you to the local media as a track?
With the local media?
Yeah.
Lee Drake and his team, they were quite tightly wound there with the local media, with Compass, the Guardian newspapers, all the radio stations. Lee does a great job in getting our information out there to the local community.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's always a powerful outlet. Another example of that would be Western Fair and their tie-in to, what used to be A-Channel is now CTV2. They've done some great things in promoting their signature events by having that tie-in, and I understand you folks are doing pretty much the same thing. What I find really interesting is that you're able, even on a local level, to draw the crowds in. Now, you know, the question becomes, is that because not many people tend to leave Prince Edward Island and they stay on with the harness racing culture top of mind? Is that maybe part of the reason why?
We are very fortunate here in that we've got a very deep, we're an agricultural community. We've got, as you mentioned a couple of times, we're pretty deeply entrenched in the culture of the island here. Harness racing goes back 150 years.
Yeah.
But other than that, we face many and all, you know, of the same challenges that other racing jurisdictions do. There's nothing too terribly imaginative about what we do. It's just a matter of hard work, a very dedicated community of volunteer workers, particularly on the grassroots side of things, on the racing side of things. And without those folks who volunteer of themselves within the industry association, because if we have 14 or 15 people around the table, there is only one paid employee. The rest are all there on a volunteer basis, and without those folks, they're the backbone of what we do.
I couldn't agree more, I'll use the Rideau-Carlton model as an example. We have a very good working relationship with our horsepersons group, and they are awfully good at drawing a crowd to any event they put on. We work directly with them, and it's a win-win situation. It certainly helps attract. Brett, you left Southern Ontario to go to PEI. There must have been something about the business model there that really attracted you to uproot and go halfway, well, to the edge of the country.
Well, first and foremost, when they flew me out here from an interview in June, I had always heard about the renovations that had been done at the two facilities, but that's what really took me, set it apart there. The facilities are top-notch, they're world-class here, and I just saw, just talking with the stakeholders, what really is unique out here, as Tom mentioned, the stakeholders, government, our management at Red Shores, it's all top-notch. And like, it even goes as far as down as the volunteers, the horse people, and the commission. We all strive to for one goal, to be self-sufficient and make this thing work out here. So it's just a kind of a model that really appealed to me. I like the way of life out here and just how committed the people are and the passion that's involved out here.
Well, it sounds like you're enjoying the way of life. I'm even detecting a bit of a maritime brogue there that you didn't have before, Brett.
Well, by times it sneaks in there.
If there were three things you would tell me and the rest of us that our tracks could do that would help their business, what would it be?
Well, I could maybe throw in one or two.
Yeah, we'll take that.
Okay, Norm. I would say that if all the various stakeholders, we've used that term here a few times, in any of the jurisdictions, would slow down for a few minutes and just listen to each other, whether it's a racing commission or a racetrack operator or a horsemen's association, each and all of them face their own challenges, and sometimes we lose sight of the fact that it's not quite as simple as one might think from everybody's different vantage point. But once you get past that and everybody develops a little bit of an appreciation for what everyone's trying to accomplish and make sure that you keep your eye on the ball down the road, things have a habit of working out.
Very good advice. Well, keep doing what you're doing because it's working. And it is always a pleasure having you gentlemen on Trot Radio. Tom Clark, Vice Chair of Harness Racing PEI, and Brett Revington, Senior Executive with Red Shores, Charlottetown, and Summerside. Thank you both for being on Toronto Radio.
Thank you very much, Norm. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye now.